Welcome to the nara.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen, and we are recording live at Triple U Studios in Nara CBD. What is the nara.org.au podcast? It is a series and collection of stories of the people and characters who make up the fabric of this town of Nara. Today's guest is Sasha Piezo, and she's part of the team at Interchange Shoalhaven. At its core, Interchange supports people with disabilities and their families. They create opportunities for connection, independence, and participation in everyday life. Social programs and activities, respite, support for families, skill building and independence, and community inclusion. Sasha is also the founder of the initiative, The Local Spotlight. Sasha helps to create a space where people of all abilities feel seen, supported, and celebrated. It's a platform built on inclusion, giving locals the chance to step up, share their talents, and be part of something bigger. Welcome, Sasha.
Thank you.
How's it going?
Me? Yeah, good. Thank you. Good. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So we ask the same question when everybody starts this podcast. What's the most underrated thing about Nara that people always get wrong?
I think it's more cultural than you think it is. When I first arrived, I thought it was not much, because coming from Darlinghurst and previously that I was in Paris, and so I came here and I thought, like, you know, the nightlife was very slow, and then I started to meet the community and different people, different background, and much more than what I thought it will be. So that was a good surprise.
Wow. So via Paris to Sydney to Nara.
Yep.
What's your earliest memory of this town, and how did you end up in Nara?
So I ended up in Nara because in 2019, I decided to start to get clean and sober. And I belong to a 12-step program. And I got sober in May 2019. And in August, part of those 12-step program is to do a fearless moral inventory. And I've been advised to go down here in Nara because someone with a long-term sobriety could help me. So I did, and I came here for a weekend, and they really helped me to get well. And I used to come here just for weekends. Then COVID hit, and another friend from recovery moved down here in Kabara Village, and I moved with her. I just wanted to get out, and I grew up in the countryside in France, and I just wanted to go back to nature, you know, and I did, and I never left. So that's the story.
Wow. Yeah. That's great. So a sponsor was here, and you came to visit, and
yeah,
you just fell in love with the
yeah, exactly. The a beautiful nature. Aboriginal woman, and, you know, as a French, I learned so much from our culture and so much wisdom about recovery, and learn to be do one day at a time, sober, clean and sober, you know. So she a good inspiration for me.
Oh, that's beautiful. What a cool story. And then That's 2019, since you've been here.
2020.
Yeah. COVID kind of refugee.
Yeah, that's right.
In the last few years, what has changed about now? Have you noticed that anything's been changing?
I think my perspective in Nara changed. At first, I wanted to be part of, and then I had this phase when I wanted to go back to Sydney. I had some options to go back, and then I decided to become a foster carer and apply for it. And I just realized that I actually want to raise a kid here to help foster a kid or kids. I don't know how many it will be, but I want this experience to be here because this is where my community is, and I feel safe here. And this is home.
Yeah.
It just became home. It transitioned like that to home without knowing it, you know? So it just happened after 5+ years, you know?
Wow, that's cool. Beautiful. And then, so I want to talk about Interchange.
Sure.
And a little bit about how you got involved. But can you tell us a little bit about that organization and what it does?
So the idea of Interchange started in 1980s with Maureen Crawford. She had a son named James who had a disability, and she wanted a better life for her son. And, you know, so she started to think of something, and she started in 1988, which is my date of birth. So it's 38 years now that Interchange is open and started. So it's a disability provider and we are trying to make a change and support people with this different disability, give them life skills, help them to be out there in a community, making safe places. We home them. Some people are homed and they are in seal houses, so we look after them as well, like 24 hours. It's very different situations, but yeah, the main thing is to look after people who are on NDIS and try to make them having a great life, really,
yeah.
And tailored services.
Yeah, I've noticed more and more. I mean, the flamingo is your logo, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's the new logo.
Yeah, and I see it around quite a bit. You've got, there's locations up at Reed, and there's vans, and there's it's quite a big organization, right?
Yes.
Do you know how many people are currently there?
I think we have 400 plus workers. It's a lot of casual workers. In the office, it's only like 16 of us. So that's the thing. It's not that many people. And we all do a lot of different things. Everyone is really busy and at the same time, super passionate.
Yeah.
So we're all so involved. And I would say it's a little family in there, you know, in a way, like in a healthy way, because family can be very dysfunctional. But for me, I like working there because everything we do matters.
Yeah.
And it can be have such an impact on people's life, like the smallest things. So, and what happened is that our office is open to our participants. So it's often that we have people here and talk to us. So I started at a reception role and actually would be talking to people all day. So, you know, just being part of the life.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that. And then, in terms of, people being involved with Interchange, if people are on NDIS, is that the kind of place they would come and they would take care of their care plan and things like that? Or
we have support coordinators who can help them managing like different services. And then it depends on each NDIS plan is different. Everyone on NDIS has different funding and depends the funding. But like we do one-on-one support, some people need two-on-one support, so that means two support workers with them, or one support worker with them. Some people need to go out out in the community. Some people need, you know, life skills. And disability can be so many things.
Mm.
It can be autism, it can be brain injury, it can be physical disability. It just can be so much, and sometimes diagnoses change.
Yeah,
because we're getting older and mental health changed as well. So, and sometimes it's in the combination of disabilities. So it's really, I don't know if I'm answering your question, but it's complex, right?
Yes.
So you got to be, it's a tailored service.
Yes.
So each one, I don't know anyone who has the same service than anyone else.
Yeah.
And everyone has a different kind of a plan.
Yeah. Which I think has been probably something that we can look at the NDIS at a larger picture, and it's been actually quite successful because it is dealing with each individual's needs, and that is how we make change, right? Is that we have to address what each individual's needs are, and then you guys are there out there supplying those needs of how it's going to make some sort of change in their life or show up on their plan, right?
Yeah, and we work hand on hands with like behavior support workers, like all these different professionals. Like we have meetings with them, and I don't, but my colleagues have meeting with them just to make sure we are on the same path and we are working on the same direction and making a better future for those people. That's the ideal.
Yeah.
The principal motivation of what we do, I guess. That's what we say.
Yeah, and I think why it aligns with NOWRA.org.au is like our ultimate mission is to make NOWRA better for the people of NOWRA.
Yeah, absolutely.
And connecting all these groups and all these great things that are happening, because there are so many good things happening in the Shoalhaven and NOWRA. And we want to really be that glue that's like bringing them all together. I think like your one of your roles is being community engagement and being out there in the community. Can you talk about how important community is to what you do?
So community for me is really important because, I'm a trans person. So I come from the queer community. I'm a migrant. I am different things, I guess, foster carers, so it's another community, right? Yeah. But I know one thing is that we can't do anything on our own. We have to work together. Mm. And this world out there is a bit like dissociated. Like, people are very isolated. People are always so on their devices. They're so remote. That's my perception. But to do community, it's my first role as a community engagement role. And I've been working for Interchange for a year before that. And I saw that, it's a lack of communication. Not in our organization, we can always master communication, but between orgs, is that everyone works in their little corner, but when it's to come as a community, it's not working well, and I feel like it's gaps there. And so for me, is that to reach out and say, hey, hi, I'm here. What do you guys do and what we can do? And it's always about, my principal motivation is to have more things for our participants.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, and that's it. And it can be simple things like, I'm not going to say what I'm trying to do right now, but, more connections, more projects, more diversity. Best experience.
Yeah.
We can always do more.
Yeah, I mean,
it never stops.
It's like you are an outsider. You've come in from another country, and then you've come in even from Sydney, and then you've joined, and then joining the LGBTQI community here in the Shoalhaven. Tell us about that. Was it welcoming? Did you feel like you were able to find community, or did it take some time?
Look, I came during COVID, so yeah. I think community was
even harder.
Hard.
Yeah,
like, I mean, it was harder for everyone. Like, Aboriginal community, like trans community, gay community, it was no more venues, no more where to go. Mm. So I think the first 2 years was a bit hard for everyone, and it's nothing to do with my own community. Mm. For me, my community today is just people that I just match with my energy. It's not, you don't have to be trans to be my friend. Mm. You just have to be respectful and not a racist, to be honest. I think that's what came out in my assessment for DCJ to become a foster carer. I've done 20 hours of interview. And I think the main thing for me is just don't be like a nasty person, you know? So I think if you are in that box, you are in my community, you know? And I want you to accept me, but I have to accept you first. That's my motivation, because we all want you to accept me, or you want me to accept you, but it has to come from me first, inside me. So I try to be that person. So I have met like great people in Nara, very different, various background. It doesn't matter. I think I just take people where they are and try to walk next to them. That's it.
Yeah, which is, that's part of it, working in the disability sector as well, is you have to take people as they are, and you come across so many, as you said, complex situations and different tags that people have on themselves. And so,
do you know, people in disability never mention that I'm transgender. They actually never mention. They never ask my pronouns. They just take me for Sasha. They just say, hi, Sasha, how are you? And I love that about those people, because we have that in common. They look different, or they have those behaviors that are different, but I think they're aware of it.
Yeah.
And so when you're honest with them and you just serve them, or being there with them, work for them, because we work for them, and you're honest, I think they can see that and they just take you for who you are.
Yeah.
And actually, it's so much to learn from people with disability.
Yeah.
Just for that reason. I love doing it.
Which is that respect piece you were saying about, you got to have that level of respect first to have a connection. And,
absolutely.
You know, you need to be able to establish that. And that, like, that comes naturally, I guess, when you've been already marginalized, or you've grown up with a disability, you've started to have that already. So I want to talk about an initiative that you've been working on. And I first saw these posters popping around town, these mysterious posters. Do you have a talent?
We all have a talent.
And they're beautiful posters. They're not A4, they're like A3. Some of them are laminated, I think. There's clearly been some care, and you've got some prominent locations for your postering. I do. If people put posters around Nara, I look at them, if no one else does.
I saw your sign with Nara at all, and I was like, I like it already. I love this orange. No, I wanted to say that.
So I've seen some signs around town. Can you explain to us a little bit what are these mysterious talent posters going around?
I love to listen to people's story, and I love getting to know them. And that's part of who I am as the person in recovery. You know, we sit around a table and you listen to people's stories month and day, weeks after weeks. And then you end up knowing that everyone has talents. My background in Sydney, I used to be part of the first transgender cabaret in Darlingus. My friend Victoria Anthony studied at cabaret. So I was part of that scene as a hairdresser. I done a lot of hair, makeup, more hair, backstage work. And I actually love organizing things and make people feel comfortable and say, off you go and just do it and embrace that. That's my skill. That's my gift, right? Am I a good performer? Not really, especially sober. And I find that quite boring myself. But I believe when you look on Instagram, all those young people are there and all the people have reached out to me or are locals. And I'm like, yeah, it is stunning out there. I had it in my guts and I think I was right. So I can't wait to start. And I think when we start, it's going to encourage people. And then we're going to do a little bit more. And it's about community. It's about people coming to see your niece or your daughter coming to perform, who is 15 years old. And she's having a go. And all the families come. And we're having a good meal. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's the concept.
So tell us a little bit about how the format. So people can apply or they can send you whatever. You got the posters up. And then you're going to have a night or different things where people can come and do their performances and perform in front of people.
Yeah? That's exactly right.
That's it.
And more, I hope.
Yeah.
You know, okay. We'll see how I go. I hope it's going to work out.
Watch this space.
But I just wanted to try, you know, and have a go with it.
Yeah, cool.
Because I believe in it. I think it could be fun.
Currently, how do people get in contact with you? If you're out there listening to this podcast and you've got a talent and it's just burning to get out of you and you want to perform in front of some of NARA's NARA community, how do people get in contact with you?
Well, the best way is on my Instagram page, The Local Spotlight NARA. I don't want to share my mobile number because it's just privacy, you know. Yeah. And I have an email that I will share later. But just the Instagram thing. I think it's working very well for people.
Yep.
So
what is it at the...
At The Local Spotlight NARA.
At The Local Spotlight NARA. No. We'll put it in the show notes.
Thank you.
And I do recommend getting around that because... I think I agree with Sasha. I think there's so much talent here in this area. It's just kind of hidden. And I think that true to the name, The Local Spotlight, like we want to shine a light on it. And I know that at nara.org.au will be big supporters of it.
Thank you. We'll
be sharing it far and wide.
We're going to do the same thing. It's the same concept. It's believing in like something's happening in here. And we just, my dream for NARA is to have a music festival once a year where people come from everywhere and we're having the best time and a lot of culture.
Yeah.
Because the more we got culture, better it is for the next generation. I believe in that in my core. So I just want to do that.
Yeah. And music is that thing that brings people together.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a total unifier.
Mm-hmm.
You can put on a music track and it doesn't matter who you are or where you've come from and you can be dancing to the same rhythm and the same tune. And I totally agree with that. In terms of the people who have started to show their talents, is it just music or is there other things as well?
It's very like, okay, we have in town, I don't want to say their name because, but like we have someone who came out to me, a young person, is a young guy and he's a yo-yo champion.
Yo-yo.
Yeah. An Australian yo-yo champion
who
lives in NARA. Who would fault? Like, I had no idea, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, his Instagram videos are so cool. Like, what he does with his yo-yo, I mean, like, he just practice. And, you know, I just want him to come and we have a DJ, why not? And then they do a song and then whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it could be cool.
Cool.
And what I love about it is his story.
Yeah.
Why did he start doing that? And it's always so empowering.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I remember having a moment at the Kangaroo Valley Folk Festival last year and we were there early in the morning. They have the poets breakfast and people do up and they get up and they recite poetry. And there was a person that I'd seen around NARA years and years. I had no idea that they were into poetry and they got up and just smashed a beautiful Australian bush poem.
Oh.
And it was like a performance. I was like, wow, I never would have guessed that person that I had seen walking down the street
you just don't know.
Had this inside of them. So it's really exciting to see.
I have some people poetry poems too.
Yeah,
I do. I met up with someone the other day and just for a coffee and they just run me like an A4 page of poem.
Yeah.
And just say it. And they're very good at saying it too. Like they've been, you know, like exciting about the project and can't wait, you know, and so that's good.
Cool.
You know?
Very exciting. So has there been a moment in Nowra that has left a lasting impression for you, a lasting positive impression for you?
A positive experience for me? Oh, in Nowra. Well, my starting working in disability and getting to know those people were so resilient, but also my recovery life where I see people getting so well and much better and having a second life and rebuilding their life from scratch.
Yeah.
And that's pretty amazing when you see fathers or mothers who have relationship back with their kids because they stop, you know, using. And it's such a problem here in Nowra. It's a lot of substance abuse. But people get better too.
Yeah.
And that's the nice part of the story. So, yeah, that's cool. That's my joy.
Can you speak to a little bit about the recovery community here in the Shoalhaven? And, and you know, is it a big community? And, you know, what's the vibe? Or how, obviously, it's been really successful for you to be able to come here and join the recovery community. But what is it like?
Well, I can't name it because it's anonymous. So I guess now you can know where I go. But we have meetings everywhere.
Yep.
And we are everywhere.
Yep.
And, you know, alcoholics and addicts can be anyone.
Yeah.
So the diversity of people who come and our members, it's huge. I went to a Wollongong recovery retreat maybe 2 months ago, and it was like three or 400 people in the room.
Yep.
And you listen, these stories. And I know a lot of them, you know. I met people who are very famous. I met people who are just simple, like, workers at the supermarket. It doesn't matter. Like, and that's what I like, the acceptance and the spiritual aspect of it.
Yeah.
You don't have to belong to any organization or anything. It's just so nice to see people get better.
Yeah.
And I come from generations of alcoholism. Yeah. I'm the first one who's breaking the circle.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that makes me, you know, feel so, not proud, but, you know, I believe people can change and get better.
Mm.
But then, you know, you can get sick again. So you've got to look after yourself, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to do.
Cool. Yeah. Well, one of my friends told me about a group of recovering people who are heading out to go camping at Coolindale at the campsite out here. And he's just said it was like the biggest weekend. They had the best time and everybody's sober.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool to hear that all community like doing things and getting together and just having heaps of fun as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, I remember my first New Year in Darlinghurst. I lived on Oxford Street and I had a rooftop. I was quite lucky. And with my mates, and we went to a meeting, and then we just hang out together, sober, look at the firework. And it was my first New Year sober. I just cried. You know, I just felt so happy and content that I didn't have to have any products or whatever to just be me.
Mm.
And I was with this group of like sober drunks, which is, they're cool people. They're cool folks. Like, I recommend to anyone, even if you don't have a drinking problem, to go to a meeting and just sit and listen. And it's quite fun.
Yeah.
It's quite fun. We laugh a lot. We have a lot of fun.
I bet.
Yeah, actually, we do. So, it's cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that part of your story too, and being vulnerable and honest with us here. What do you hope Nowra feels like in 10 years' time?
I hope that the youth... I sound like a very old person when I say it, and with my accent, my boss actually make fun of me when I say the youth. I just hope that young people, that's what we say those days, have more place to go.
Yeah.
You know, more place to go out, more place to connect, more life, more culture, more pop-up shops, more markets, festivals, why not? Mm-hmm. And more houses. You know, like, it's
more
just
houses,
it's a crisis, you know. Like, I saw that big hospital coming up last night. I was looking at it and I'm like, where are they gonna leave all those people? It's no houses in here. Like, it's so hard to find a house. I guess less emergency, less crisis, and more hope. That's what I would like to see it narrow. But I want to be on that part. I want to be on the part of giving more hope than criticizing or, you know, blaming. Or I just want to be in the solution.
More hope. Yeah, and I think like things like Spotlight Nowra is exactly that. It's like giving people a reason to be proud of this area and something to talk about and something to do as well.
Yeah.
My experience was, I was 18, went to high school here, but as soon as I could, I left. And I was like, I'm out of here.
Very common story.
And lucky that at 32, I decided to come back, and I've really enjoyed the benefits of moving back. But if we are able to provide more reasons for people to stay around, you don't get that lossage at just as people finish high school, and that would promote more people to stay around and that kind of thing. So
absolutely,
I agree with that. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. Beautiful. Two last questions. So,
okay.
Who is one person you'd love to hear their story on this podcast?
Let's say your story, because I know you by name. I saw your face on social media, but I don't know your story. So let's say you.
All right, season two, Baron Hansen, interviewing Baron Hansen.
That's it.
Okay, so any asks of the people of Nowra?
Do you know, I'm French, and I don't want to bring my culture here, but I like to bring the good stuff that I see in other traveling, when I travel, or when I see, and it's something in Nowra that I've been thinking of, that I see in France. It's that this small village in France that was very boring, and that mayor got elected, and they had no money. But do you know what they did? And that was cute. They started to plant flowers from front of their houses. And they make the whole village just like an attraction, and people will come and just drive and look at the flowers. And I think Nowra needs more of that.
Wow, more flowers.
More flowers, more small initiatives that can actually change the way it looks. Because we have a lot of green space, and, you know, but make it nice in front of your house, make it nice maybe in a corner when it's possible. Spread the love, spread flowers.
We have had a lot of guests on this podcast, and that is my favorite asks of the people of Nowra so far. More flowers. Plant some flowers in your front garden. Yeah.
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 Why not?
Yeah.
It's not that expensive.
Yeah. Couple seeds.
That's it. And just let it grow and look at it and be happy.
I love it. All right. Thanks, Sasha. This has been awesome to hang out and appreciate all the work you're doing. And I'm really excited to see what evolves with the local spotlight as well. So, yeah.
Sam, I hope you're going to come and sing. Do you sing?
We'll see.
Okay.
I'll do something. It might be poetry, but we're not. Okay, no singing. All right. Thanks.
No worries.
Thank you for listening to the Nowra.org.au podcast. I'm your host, Baron Hansen. We're recording in Triple U Studios in Nowra CBD. It's a community radio station. Our producer here is Paul Murphy. Nowra.org.au is funded by the New South Wales Government Uptown Accelerator Program. If you'd like more information, visit nowra.org.au or follow us on socials, subscribe to the mailing list. See you next time.